Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
See, and everyone's a man apart from me. You had to go at that, but then you're telling Ollie to say he's Australian.
I didn't tell you not to say you're a woman.
It's out there now anyway.
So that is how the podcast will begin.
Oh, phenomenal.
Welcome to the GLHF podcast.
Hello and welcome to Game and Fortune, the show where the game is utter nonsense and the prize for our winner is exposure. It's the thinking person's mastermind. I did not write that, for the record. In this game, players can compete against one another to prove their video game knowledge, risking their lives and reputations in the process. Come with us as we dunk ourselves into the toilets of discourse. I am your host, the reviled Dave Breens, and I'm here with the one and only Kirk McKeon, also known as, ooh, my back, Chiropracterminator and Spiny Boy. Chiropracterminator.
I got a back.
That's you. All right.
You really shoehorned that in. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. Tortured.
Mm-hmm. Chiropracterminator. That's...
No, Chiropracterminator.
I think chiropractinator is better.
But... It does sound like it rolls off the tongue there.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Chiropractinator. Yeah, not, it does.
Standing for this. I'm not standing.
George's the writer, so I mean,
yeah, I'm the only writer here.
George, could you fill us in? What do you think? I can't even say it anymore.
Can't even say it.
I think we got to chuck it in the bin because I think it's terrible. I think you got to scrap it and come up with a different pun. That's all right.
There you go.
Expert written opinion.
Consider it scrap, but it's still going in.
That's why we all need edits. George, how was your week?
Yes, very good, I suppose. I've been playing some video games. That's my job.
Yeah.
Have you played our game?
I didn't get that. I haven't had it. We'll wait until the person who has played it gets their chance to speak, I guess.
Guess I'll leave then.
Yeah. Usually I introduce everyone, but George is already speaking anyway, so I was like, yeah, George, might as well just introduce yourself at this point. But we're also here with Ollie. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm Australian.
You know what? I get that about you. I get that.
You have played the game, right, Ollie?
I have, yeah. I'm
amazing. What'd you think?
4 hours into it now. I'm really, really enjoying it. Super,
thank
super
God.
Fun.
Okay, that's great. Oh, boy. Can you imagine? I think it's terrible.
You say that. I have said that to our guests on the show before.
Yeah.
when we were with Ben Starr, I was hated Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, brilliant. That's how I see. You know, to be honest, I would also tell Ben that I hated Final Fantasy 16, but to be honest, I actually quite enjoyed it. But to Ben, I hate it. Anyway, that's
another story. You just tell him that. Okay, fantastic. I mean, at this point, we might as well introduce our very special guest, an actor and game developer who you might know as Father from Raised by Wolves or Bayek in Assassin's Creed. It's Abu Bakar Salim. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm very well. I'm very well, thank you. This has got to be the most chilled but strangest way of kind of getting into a podcast. I love it already. This is my vibe. So thank you.
Unfortunately, we do not have a filter, but that leads to the vibe we have, you know?
It's great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We love you already as well, Abu.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
It's because you're a man.
Thanks. Jesus. I ain't saying anything to that, bro. That's no man. No, man. Don't do this. I've just started my games career, bro. Don't destroy it now, please.
Okay. I'll try. You just wrapped up filming on House of the Dragon season 2, right?
Yeah.
How was that process?
It was great. It was really, it was pretty epic and insane. I think, you know, the thing is, it's like, I think a lot of people on the set were worried that, you know, they've got to rise up to, you know, Game of Thrones, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, House of the Dragon season 1 did really well and it was received really, really well. And it's just kind of keeping that momentum going. So yeah, it was incredible. The funniest thing, though, is that I was expecting to, like, film, you know, all over the shop, be it, like, mm-hmm. you know, Spain or even Ireland. I was in Watford the whole time. It was honestly one of the weirdest, but, I mean, it was quite fulfilling. It was great to be home, but, I mean, you know, Watford. I mean, it's not to say, you know, Watford's weird. All right.
Abu slams Watford.
Yeah. There we go. Great. Here we go.
Podcast style.
Now, Watford's is all right. But it was really funny because, again, you know, I'm supposed to be, like, you know, on these massive castles and, you know, looking out to the wide sea. Instead, I'm literally looking out to Watford. So it's like, all right, cool. Here we go.
Which cast members did you get on with the best?
Oh, the best. Oh, man.
I'm not going to ask you yet.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. I don't think I got on with any of them. They were all cool, man. Like, it's funny, though, again, it is such a huge cast mm-hmm. that you only really see each other either at, like, you know, if we organize an event to meet up or if, you know, you're on a scene with them. And really, truly, like, yeah, I mean, they're all cool, man. I mean, I had a lot of good scenes with, you know, with Clinton, who essentially plays my brother. And he's lovely, man. He's such a lovely, cool guy. So yeah, it was great. We were both in the same boat of, like, coming in, you know, a season later when everyone else is really established. So we both had that journey together with it, which was really cool.
And you were both in Watford.
Both in Watford. Mm. And yeah, which was an experience, all right?
One thing that makes me as sad as being in Watford is the fact that Raised by Wolves was cancelled.
Oh my God, I know, man. I know. I blame Watford for that. that was a thing. It's funny, though, there's this conspiracy because both me and Amanda are in House of the Dragon, so
all right.
People think that essentially they cancelled Raised by Wolves to get us into House of the Dragon, which is, in my eyes, quite hilarious as a whole.
And also true.
And probably true, yes. Probably true.
It was a great series, though, and you were obviously one of the main parts in it as Father, weren't you? It's just weird and kind of different to everything else on telly, so
yeah,
a bit of a shame to see it go.
Oh, no. Thank you, man. Thank you. I mean, the outfit was... this. I don't miss the silver suit in the slightest.
It's quite tight.
It was really revealing. And now I feel every time I post a photo of myself, people are like, but where's your silver suit? The weird offers and brand deals that I got from wearing that silver suit, I will take with me to my grave. So let's just leave it at that, shall we?
I don't want to leave it at that.
No, I think we should. Again, as I said, I've just started my games career and I've just been cast in House of the Dragon, so I'd rather keep those jobs.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Obviously, a lot of our audience probably knows you from film and TV, and maybe as Bayek from Assassin's Creed as well, which was also great. But you've just started your career in game development, as you say. What made you want to take the leap?
Yeah, no, I'd say, like, really, truly, it's funny. I've always say this, like, if I knew that I could have a career in games from the get-go, I probably would have actually you know, I would have actually just been a game developer. Mm-hmm. So like, it's one of those ones where really the inspiration came from this sense of wanting to kind of just tell cool stories across the board, you know? Again, it's weird because I feel like the sort of the journey into games really started with Assassin's Creed Origins, like, and actually realizing that, oh, there's actual people behind these things that make these games. But at the time, you know, I've been playing games all my life. I never really knew that. It wasn't really a thing that I kind of had an idea of. But yeah, but it's been something that I've really, I'm still learning a hell of a lot about, you know, because when I started the studio and wanted to make this game, I had no knowledge of what it would entail and what it would need. So yeah, now I'm here. I could almost say I still have no idea what it means to make a game and the process of what it takes, you know?
Yeah, I guess you got a glimpse of the process being like on the actor side in Assassin's Creed and so far. But was there anything that like hit you like a truck and you thought, oh, this is way harder than I was expecting it to be?
Oh man, the whole process, dude. Like, you know, I think the thing is, it's like, you know, you know, we're the studio, we started from scratch, right? So yeah. I had to build the studio from scratch, but at the same time, find the people as well in the middle of a pandemic. So it's not about meeting people face to face. It's literally, you know, sliding into people's DMs and being like, hey, do you want to work with me? You know, and it's, I'd say like really, truly the business structure element was quite difficult and tough. But other than that, like the creative process was really, that was a lot of fun because again, it's, you know, we're all just coming in with cool ideas and thoughts and feelings and sharing. And, you know, I was very much of the mentality of like, okay, if we're going to do this, we've got to do this in a way that is incredibly open and allows us to explore and experiment. Because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We want to make a really cool, fun experience, but at the same time, it's heartfelt. So let's work together on that, you know, rather than necessarily fight for who's got the best idea and what should, you know, what should be the idea that should go forward. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's kind of the way we're going.
Lastly, what did you want to say with Zao, your debut game?
I mean, it's one of those ones where it's funny, it evolves. Because I think like when I started this process, truly it was one of those ones where again saying like, hey, you know, you're not alone. The journey of grief, even though it's isolating, it isn't as isolating as, you know, we all go through it. We all kind of experience it. But as I've kind of gone through it, you know, it's really truly one of those ones where it's just saying like, look, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah,
I think like, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I had when I was, you know, going through, you know, my own journey of grief was essentially I tried to almost like man up as soon as possible. I tried to be like, all right, cool, this is it. You know, this is what I'm experiencing. All right, it's fine. It's what it is. I'm, you know, people die, move on. And I didn't actually really get the chance to sit down and actually reflect on what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what, you know, and it's 10 years, man. So like, you know, for the first 3 years, I'd say it was like this weird blur. It was almost like, you know, kind of just a shock, very isolating, very sort of feeling like I was, you know, that it was only me. But at the same time, I was thinking, ah, you know what? You've just got to keep calm and carry on. And then it was, you know, just, I think it was like, you know, within sort of 5 years afterwards, it was when I started to actually really say, listen, I've got to really kind of think about this and reflect on this, because otherwise it's gonna, you know, the harboring that kind of feeling was a lot. So yeah, I think really truly with this game, like I just want to tell people like it's okay to not be okay, you know, like it's all right to feel, you know, horrible one day and you know, decide to eat that tub of ice cream. You know what I mean? There ain't no problem with that. Or, you know, sometimes you might even feel a sense of relief, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing wrong with that. Your feelings are your feelings, and the journey that you go through is so unique to you, but at the same time, we're all going to go through it. So I think, yeah, that's ultimately the big one that I kind of wanted to, the big message that I'm hoping to put across, that it's okay to not be okay, you know?
Yeah. Did the act of making the game help you process that in a way as well?
Yeah, I think it did. I think it helped, again, like it you know, I'm a big believer that as well. Like, grief isn't something that you kind of get over and then you heal and then you move on.
Yeah.
It's something that will stay with you for the rest of your life. And because of the fact that it stays with you, it's one of those ones where it's, you have to learn to be comfortable with it. Because if you're, you know, and there's a power in that. I think the one thing that the game did do was it really made me feel like there is a power in my vulnerability. There's a power in my openness. You know, I can, the grief and the journey that I've gone through, although be it sad and be it upsetting, because now I'm able to sort of accept that it is there and accept the times that where I'm not feeling great, there is a real cool power in that, in the sense that I'm now almost, okay, put it this way. The thing that I tell my team is, like, you know, at the end of the day, this game, when it comes out, as long as you are proud of it and you feel, you know, great about it, that's all that matters. Because yeah, that is truly, you know, that's life for you, you know, in the sense of, like, as long as you are proud of the piece that you have put there and the passion that you've put into that, that's really all that matters, man. And you'll be okay with it. And I think, like, that's something that I've learned from this game. It's like, ultimately, yes, it is for people to enjoy and to play and to you know, to love. But at the same time, it's also a way of realizing that, hey, there's a power in your vulnerability, and there's a power in the stuff that you do. So yeah, I'd say it helped me look at my grief in a more empowering light than necessarily just as a little bit of baggage that is there, you know?
Yeah.
It's made me almost embrace the scar rather than necessarily try to hide it.
Yeah, like pushing it down. It's a bit like the sewage companies in the UK pushing everything out into the sea, isn't it? You know,
basically, you know, my grief is like sewage.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You know, that is actually truly what the whole process has made me realize. My grief is sewage.
it's got to come out somewhere, is what I'm trying to say. You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. And basically, that's it. Yeah, it has got to come out somewhere. And
it's better that it comes out in art than
exactly
like anger or whatever.
Exactly, as an expression. Because I think this is the thing. I think a lot of the time, when people talk to one another, and there was something that a friend told me, like, it was very deep, and I don't know where it came from. And every now and then I do reflect upon it, but then at the same time, I'm like, I can't think too deep in it. But he said this thing of, like, have you noticed that when most people, like, have arguments or, you know, kind of heated conversations, they're just talking to themselves?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, well, yeah, if you're, you know, you're arguing with someone, you essentially are just talking to yourself. If you were to take the other person's, you know, line out or whatever they were saying out, you would still make sense in the argument that you're saying, because it literally is, you are just arguing with yourself. And I was like, wow, that's really deep. And it made me think, like, yeah, it's almost like an expulsion or an expression of whatever's inside you coming out and you have no control over. And I think, like, that's essentially what I was feeling with my journey of grief. It's like, I had to express this thing. I had to share it in some way, shape or form. And the best way I could do it is through an art form, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that deep explanation of your process. But now we're going to ask you some questions about video games.
Oh, Jesus. Wait, hold on. Let me get this right. Am I the only one? You're all playing, right? So
yeah.
George, okay, so George, I don't have to embarrass myself.
No. George and Ollie will be playing. So you're facing off against them too.
Oh, phenomenal. Great.
And they're both really bad at it, so don't worry
about it. At least I can beat one of you guys. Yeah. That's great. That's right.
Right.
Oh, I know who it is, Ollie, by the
way. It's also very in your favour because Kirk tries to make it questions.
I rig it. Completely rig it.
Great. All right. Brilliant.
All right. Dave, take us away.
Yeah, the benefit of not having reputations ourselves means there's nothing to lose. Well, not for us, anyway.
Wow, man, you guys are really selling this podcast to me.
Good old time.
The last episode was called Losing All Our Credibility.
Wow.
Already sunk to the bottom.
So. Yeah. To be honest, yeah. I think I've lost all credibility anyway with all my loved ones. But anyway, that's another story. Come on, let's go.
Was it the suit?
It was the suit. it was the suit, man. Anything now I wear, by the way, any costume, anything, it's like a dream come true. I'm not even kidding. That suit, man, scarring.
This week, we'll kick things off with two truths and a lie. Our special guest will tell us two truths and a lie, and the other two contestants have one guess between them to figure out the lie. The contestants get 1 point each if they win, but Abu will get 3 points if he wins.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's rigged.
Rigged.
Oh, God.
All right, Abu, do you want to speak your truths, all three of them? Just one after the other, go for it.
Yeah, so it's two truths and a lie, right?
Yeah, but you don't know. They're free truths, yeah?
Absolutely. Okay. I had size 13 feet since I was 9. I have always loved gherkins. And my favorite color is pink.
This is a good one. This is a good one.
Yeah, straight up.
Let's go.
At the risk of... you know, feet picks. Maybe a shoe or something. Can we see a shoe?
No, that's cheating, George.
That's cheating, man.
Visual confirmation of
hold
his
on.
Foot.
Size. I wasn't even going to raise my foot in the camera. I don't really... Okay, no. You have to guess.
George, no, to be fair, he said since a certain age.
Yeah, his current since an shoe age. Size I want to see today's size.
Calm yourself, George.
I feel like if I were to be a stickler for the rules, I'd say that that's not a question, but...
It's not
can
really.
Can I see your shoe is the question?
It's a request, technically.
What if he says no?
The thing is, though, the answer. It's a camera. You can't, like, if I hold the shoe here, it's going to obviously look bigger than if I hold it back here.
That's
right?
True.
So, to be fair, George, it's an audio podcast.
I am... refusing your question. Please
I could describe the shoe if that sweetens the deal. Okay, fine. Why are you into gherkins?
Why am I into gherkins?
That's a good question.
Because they're tasty and
because they're tasty. They're great. It's like it enhances the burger's flavor. Like genuinely. Like and
so
especially
only burgers.
Well, I mean, like you can also have it with fish and chips and whatnot as a side, but like there's something about a gherkin that is better than a cucumber. It's just like, it's just
it's
incredible.
Called
it's
called salt.
Just, it's called salt. But yeah, I don't know. The gherkins are just incredible. So yeah.
You eat, you take that straight out of the fridge? I was going to say, do you raw dog them? But then I said it now.
That's
raw dog them.
Really, honestly. I would say it always has to accompany something. I can eat it just by itself, which is totally fine. But ultimately, it's enhanced when eaten with something else.
Good logic, IMO. Ollie, what have you got?
How tall were you when you were 9 and had size 13 feet?
Oh, man. I can't remember the height exactly, but I was bigger than pretty much most of the kids in my school.
Okay, so, right. I was a teacher for a very long time. I mentioned it a few times. And I will say that sometimes, like, 12-year-old boys can just be 6-foot men. But I still think 9, because it suggests puberty. I think 9 is too young.
Mm.
I think it's pushing the line. I think that one's got to be the lie for me.
Okay. I'm in agreement. I think the shoe thing is the lie.
We're saying the shoe is the lie.
Hmm.
Okay.
I hate gherkins.
Oh no! How? How is your foot that big?
Honestly, I've just got massive feet. It's like when you see a baby photo of me, it's like Tarzan. You know the Tarzan TV show, like the animated film. You know, he comes out with big hands and big feet. They based it off me, basically.
You look like a Kingdom Hearts character.
Basically. That's the only connecting factor I have with Sora, essentially.
But what is it?
Shoe size.
You hit puberty in primary school, or
we're not asking him out when he hit puberty. Come on.
Or did you grow into your feet? That's my question.
I think I grew into my feet. I think. Okay. But like, yeah, I've always had massive feet.
Now, can we see the feet? No, I'm joking.
I can't believe this.
So wait, why do you hate gherkins? What's wrong with gherkins?
Man, I was agreeing with him. Dirty. They are weird things, man. They are like weird. Yeah, I don't like them.
No, all the reasons you said you like pickles are the correct answers.
Well,
they enhance everything. They're great.
Not everything. Just a burger.
Wait, George, do you raw dog them?
No, but I really like salty things generally. Yeah, so
oh my god, let's move on.
My favourite crisp is already salted, things like that. Mm-hmm. Keep your minds out of the gutter.
This week's theme is Metroidvania games. Games Abu has been in, and games I've just read that Abu likes. Thanks for that, Kirk. What? Next up, we got Buzzword, our quick-fire quiz. In this round, the judge reads out questions and the contestants have to buzz in to answer them. Correct answers get 1 point and the contestants can buzz in if the person before them gets a question wrong. Unfortunately, the judge spent the budget we had aside for buzzers.
No, I didn't change it. I spent it on loads of ice cream this week.
He spent it on fucking not doing the fucking script.
I did. Loads of ice cream.
And how does that go with the deaf room?
I eat it in the deaf room.
I don't even know.
Sits in the deaf room, crying,
eating ice cream. Haagen-Dazs, by the way.
Sorry, Abu, this is you need inside knowledge.
So you got about two tubs then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on my wages now.
All right, okay. Because we don't have buzzers because of Kirk's ice cream expenditure, we need to use a word for our buzzers. We're going to go around and see what words people have come up with. George, I know that you are prepared. You always are.
Oh, yeah. So Symphony of the Night was rated our second best game of all time, if anyone remembers that argument we had a while ago. And the famous line is, what is a man? A miserable pile of secrets. So I thought I'd just pick secrets.
I was going to say, it seems a bit long for a buzzer, but I'm glad
not going to have the old thing, but I thought I'd explain it.
Thank you.
I respect it. Ollie, come on.
Yeah. Well, Abu mentioned Kingdom Hearts before, and we spoke previously about Kingdom Hearts when I spoke to Abu last week, so I'm going to say Sora is going to be my buzzer.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Nice, simple.
Abu's buzzer is feet. No, it's not. Go on.
Can't I just say buzz?
You can.
I mean, you can. We'll judge you for being really boring. But
oh, all right, fine. What if I say buzz in interesting ways?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good.
Do it in different voices each time.
Exactly.
Yes.
Then I won't know who it is. I'll be like, who's that? Who's that?
There you go.
There's the first question. World of Warcraft's Robin the Entertainer NPC was a tribute to which late comedy actor?
Skeekruts.
Skeekruts? That's not your buzzer. Yes, Judge?
Robin Williams.
It was. How do you know that? You don't play well.
Educated guess. Robin the Entertainer, yeah.
Good, I like it. Okay. Big Folk 3 was the working title for which JRPG? Big Folk. Think of a JRPG that's got a third entry and Big Folk in it.
Secrets?
No, it's not Secrets. No, go on.
Was it RPG or JRPG?
JRPG.
Oh, I retract my buzz.
You can't do that.
I was going to say God of War, because the gods are quite big, but yeah, you can buzz me out.
To be fair, can I get a source on this one?
Yeah, Google.
I don't...
Brilliant.
Big Top. Folk 3?
Mm-hmm.
JRPG.
Who's Googling? Stop that.
It's me.
It's Dave.
Who are you talking to? Big Folk 3.
Oh my god, it actually might have been.
Yeah. Eat that.
Ah, screw it. Buzz!
Fucking hell.
Chrono Trigger 3?
Like, is that a guess. Thing?
No, wait, no. Xenoblade 3.
I'm gonna give him it.
Yeah, Xenoblade 3.
Yeah,
how I'm did gonna you, give him it. How did... How?
I've not played Xenoblade, to be fair.
I think I was in it.
You were. That's why there's a question about it.
That makes sense. It's the theme of the show.
Yeah.
The theme was so broad, I forgot.
Exactly. You got to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Especially when you got big feet. In Kingdom Hearts, what do these locations all have in common? Destiny Islands, Traverse Town, Hollow Bastion, and End of the World.
Sora.
I don't know who that was.
You can give it. Ollie's going to get it right, so just give it Ollie.
Ollie?
They're all original non-Disney worlds.
Correct.
Oh, such a good, yeah, good game.
In Assassin's Creed Origins, what does the main character's name, Bayek, mean?
Buzz. Boop. Wait, no, hold on. Buzz.
Arnold.
Nice. There we go. Eagle.
I'm afraid not.
Well, that's embarrassing. I should leave my... I should just go out of it, shouldn't I? My bad.
Secrets.
George?
And assume Mabu is close. I'm going to say Condor.
Nope. Oh. Go on, Ollie. They've whittled it down. They've whittled it down. Like, they're close.
Oh, what a fucking Falcon. Why not?
You didn't buzz, so I'm afraid that's wrong.
I did. Sure. I said Sora. Dave, play back the tape. I said it.
Yeah, that's right. I'll give it. Okay.
I'm sweating.
You were closer, Boo. It's Falcon / Vulture. In Ori and the Will of the Wisps, what's Ori's big furry friend called?
Oh, a big furry friend. Buzz? Listen, I've committed to this. I have to stick to it. Oh my God. Grubo.
Grubo. That's like my kiddie asked me to make up names for characters, and I always say Gronk, and that's like a step away from that. But no, it's not Grubo.
Oh man,
I'm afraid
Grubo sounds like one of those made up Star Wars memes. Like,
I didn't make it like too hard. Shito. Like you've got most of these. You've got one.
To be fair, I've not played already. It's his ma though, isn't it? It's his ma. The fluffy
one.
Oh
right, is that?
Or are we on about something else? No.
The big furry thing. That's
oh, the
furry.
Flying one.
No, the big stompy furry dude.
Oh. I don't know, but.
No one knows, no.
No.
It's Naru.
Naru! Damn it!
See? You know. Right, last question. Which was the only 2D Metroid game to feature the grapple beam?
Buzz.
That was just your voice.
It was not aggressive. Buzz. I feel like it was good.
That's better. That's better. Go on.
Metroid Prime.
Secrets.
No.
It was the only 2D Metroid. Yeah. So I got to specify that.
George?
Dread, I assume.
You assume wrong. Ollie?
Sora. I mean, it's got to be Super Metroid, right?
Yep. That's the one.
That's the one.
Okay. I didn't know that.
At the end of that round, the scores are George has 1 point, Ollie has 3, and Abu's in the lead with 4 points.
Oh, wow.
Because it's rigged.
That's great. I don't know whether to feel good about that or like, you know. Oh, I have a question. Did Ben win last time?
Yeah, he did win his.
Did he?
How many points? Do you remember?
Oh. That's too much to ask. Yeah, you have to watch the episode.
Was he good?
He was good. He was very entertaining.
He was very charming. Brilliant. Yes.
And he's handsome, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
I mean, Abu's handsome as well. But
you've just spoken about my feet for half of the time. So Jesus.
We've had so many podcasts that we just skip the foreplay now. And next up is a round of that motherfucker back there is not real. The judge will give you a series of character names from various games, and you have to figure out which one is made up. Kirk.
Yep. You'll get 3 points if you buzz in and get it straight away, but points are deducted each time someone rules one out. You got buzz in like usual. Here are some motherfuckers who are not real. The first game is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Here are some names. Ku, Gumo, Ringo, and Ofa.
Secrets.
George.
Assume it's Gumo after you had a go at Abu.
No, Gumo's real.
Biz!
That was the best one, yeah. Go on.
Ringo!
Ringo's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we've got Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Death, Cerberus, Boatman, and Succubus.
Buzz!
Abu?
Succubus.
Is real.
Boatman.
Oh, Boatman is not real.
Oh. Yeah, I knew that one. Actually, a game I have played. I've played so many Metroidvanias, and you're not talking about any of them.
That's a Metroidvania right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. Here we got one. We got one now.
Super Metroid's a Metroidvania.
Super Metroid's a Metroidvania.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps is a Metroidvania. So fucking light out.
The theme isn't games George has played.
I've played so many, though. I've played so many.
The Castlevania one was, the real one is Ferryman, and I changed it to Boatman.
Boatman.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So smart.
Same, fucked same,
you,
but different.
Fucked you up. Fucked you up. Right, let's go. The next one is Guacamelee. These are the names. El Muerte, Rooster Ramirez, Cactuado, and Flameface.
Secrets.
George?
Cactuado.
Is real.
No way. I've played that one.
Yes!
I did not remember that.
Abu?
Flameface.
Is also real.
Oh my god.
Ollie, it's on you.
Sora, I mean, I don't even remember what the first one.
El Muerte and Rooster Ramirez.
Yeah, let's go El Muerte.
Is not real. Well, oh my
god. What is it? El Muerto?
No, there's no one called El Muerte or anything like that.
Really?
Yeah.
They'll have like silly wrestling names.
I just thought one's called Cactuado, so I'm going to go El Muerte because that's Mexican.
It's like the dead, yeah. And it's about dead people.
Yeah, Cactuado is a bit eyebrow.
Yeah, don't know I agree with it, but.
Anyway, let's carry on. World of Warcraft is the last one. We got Jared Shadowsong, Killian Anchorheart, Malfurion Stormrage, and Chandris Feathermoon.
They all sound real, man. The World of Warcraft series is weird, bro.
It is weird, yeah.
I mean, I love it, but it's just weird.
You've been in it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You were one of these. You weren't.
No, it wasn't. Don't do that.
Secrets.
George?
Can I have Feather Moon?
You can, but she's real.
Bezu.
Oh, nice.
Thanks. The one who sounds like a furry.
Malfurion Stormrage.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's real.
Oh, for God's sake.
Ollie?
Sorry. I'm going to say Killian.
Is not real.
Why not?
Do you think they wouldn't know an Irish name? Because that was what I thought to start with.
We're already on to the final round of the week. I don't want to part with you all. It's been so much fun. But we're going to play Rate Your Stars Right. And I love this game because it gets everyone very frustrated. The judge will choose 18 games. And you have to guess whether or not the next game in the sequence has a higher or lower Metacritic score.
That is shocking.
I know, right? You get 1 point for each game guessed correctly. And you can have a streak going. But as soon as you get it wrong, it's passed on to another player.
Yep, and we always start with whoever's losing, and that's George.
Me. Yeah, I could tell.
All right, the first game in the sequence is Assassin's Creed Origins, which has a Metascore of 81. And you've got to tell me whether Axiom Verge is higher or lower.
Higher.
How dare you?
It is higher, though.
How dare you?
Axiom Verge, absolute banger.
I was trying to find somewhere to put it in the list where I could go, oh, it's higher, but it's the lowest score.
Unbelievable.
So and now we know everything's above 81. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah, it's all right. They're all really close. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's 81's a respectable score, though. It's a good score.
You know what? It's not so cool, man. Don't worry.
It's Metacritic. It's not us. We didn't do it. Yeah. Well, Kurt might have.
Be back again.
Yeah, Kurt might have.
It's the best Assassin's Creed, other than Black Flag, anyway. So.
Oh, did you see the caveat at the end?
I know. Hey,
trying to get himself out of it. He just digs the hole deeper.
I'll agree. You know.
Oh, no, you don't have to agree with him on anything.
He's good. Right. Axiom Verge. So is Castlevania Symphony of Night higher or lower?
Oh, gotta be higher.
It is higher.
Second best game of all time, as voted for by us.
Is Metroid Dread higher or lower than that?
Lower.
It is. Is Hollow Knight higher or lower than Metroid Dread?
Higher.
Fucking hell, George. Calm down.
I played lots of Metroidvanias. These are the games I know. We're on games George knows now.
Xenoblade Chronicles 3, higher or lower?
Then, what was there?
Hollow Knight.
Hollow. Lower.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hell.
You might not get a go yet, Abu.
I know.
This is the thing. I don't care if I'm losing, because I come into the Metacritic round and I've spent all day having a look through those pages.
This is not worth bragging about.
Nah, I haven't. I just... I know games.
Okay. Is Ori and the Will of the Wisps higher or lower than Xenoblade Chronicles 3?
Lower.
Incorrect.
Oh. We bomb. See, what? Ori, again. Don't know that game for shit.
It's a Metroidvania.
It is like
one
of the things.
I know it's a Metroidvania. It's just one I ain't played.
Bloody hell. Wow.
I'm allowed to enjoy a genre. And
without playing one of the best games in it.
Gives me so much hope.
Okay. All right, it's Ollie next then. You're the next lowest score. Is Dead Cells higher or lower than Ori and the Will of the Wisps?
Higher.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
We're on to Abu.
Okay.
You got to bring it back now because George has overtaken you. You got to get a streak.
Okay.
Right, we're on Dead Cells. Is Guacamelee higher or lower?
Lower.
It is. Is Kingdom Hearts, the first one, higher or lower than Guacamelee?
Oh, don't do that. I would say Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, sorry. Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, 3?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow,
sorry.
That changes
things. Different question, yeah.
I'd say it's lower.
It is lower.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Sultan Sanctuary higher or lower than Kingdom Hearts 3?
Jesus. I think it's higher.
It is.
Absolute banger. Another banger there. Another Metroidvania that's a banger that I've played.
George, please.
Okay. You haven't played Ollie and the Will of the Wisp. Ori and the Will of the Wisp. I'd love to play Ollie and the Will of the Wisp.
It's the Australian version.
I would love that.
Upside down.
Oh, wow.
Everyone calls each other a cunt.
That's just this podcast.
We'd have got all the names right if it was Ollie.
Can't remember what one I was on now. Sultan Sanctuary, that's the one. Yeah. Is The Messenger higher or lower than that?
I think The Messenger is higher.
You're correct.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is Shadow Complex higher or lower than The Messenger?
Oh, Shadow Complex was what a game. I think that's higher.
You think right. He's on one.
Yeah.
Is Cave Story higher or lower than Shadow Complex?
Oh God, I've not heard of Cave Story.
Banger. Absolute banger. Another Metro Radio banger. George,
it's not helping, George. I would say it's... I'm going to say it's lower.
Ah, Abu.
Did I end my streak?
You ended your streak.
Oh, no!
One of best games of
George,
all time.
George.
One guy made that. One guy. Incredible.
All right.
You needed a whole team, Abu.
No.
That was not what I was saying!
The whole team in EA.
Oh, no.
Why does Cook do these?
Honestly, unbelievable.
All right, George. You're on Cave Story. Is SteamWorld Dig 2 higher or lower?
Lower.
It is lower. Is Blasphemous 2 higher or lower?
Higher.
Incorrect.
Ooh,
fucked it.
Surprised about that.
Wow.
Yep. On to you, Ollie. Yeah, I mean, you've got no chance of winning. So
yeah, I know.
But keep the streak going so I win, Ollie, okay?
Is Iconoclast higher or lower than Blasphemous 2?
Higher.
It's lower.
It's shit, man. Sorry.
Ollie, you're so good at this, mate.
I'm so good.
It's because he's Australian.
I shouldn't just poop on things.
Higher or lower
is
the opposite
to
him.
Yeah. He's just going
in Australia, everybody aims
you got it right.
Zero
exactly. You got it right.
All right. Abu. Is World of Warcraft Dragonflight higher or lower than Iconoclast?
Lower.
It is lower. And that takes him straight to the bank.
Tragedy.
Kirk, read off the scores for us.
Ollie has a pathetic 5. George has a respectable 9. And Abu is way out in front with 12 points.
Rigged. Rigged. But congratulations, Abu.
Don't know about that. I got that streak was pretty cool, you know.
That was a pretty good streak. And also, like, you know, even with the extra points on the first question, you'd still been leading by 1 point. So I think that's a legit win. Legit win.
He won by real knowledge. Having large adult feet as a child.
And a whole team behind him. And EA.
Yeah.
At least I played Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Right, thanks, guys.
Abu, would you like to give us a victory speech, acceptance speech, and also plug your new game?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for this moment. Most of you know me as, I know myself as the actor, the director, the most amazing, you know, creative out there. Most people actually do know me as the guy who cried at the Game Awards, but it's okay. I'm more than that. And today proved that. So I'd like to thank George for being a lady. Ollie. I'd like to retract that thankful to Ollie. And I'd also like to thank myself, you know? Kirk, Dave, you're cool. But like, ultimately, thank you. But anyway, about the game. So the game, which I hope, George, you do play, Tales of Kinzera Zao. It is a Metroidvania. So please play, George. Metroidvania, it's coming out literally in a few days, which is terrifying.
By the time this podcast's out, by the way, it'll be a month ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can pick it up right now.
You can get it now. Play it now. No, but Tales of Kinzera Zao. It's coming on. It's going to be on all platforms, which is really, really cool and exciting. It's crazy to think that there's a game out, or it's coming out. But thank you very much for allowing me this moment to not only just clear the name that I'm not just that guy who cried at the Game Awards, but also to plug my game.
It's been great having you on. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope your game does really good because it looks.
Thank
ace.
You. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Or for those listening in the future.
Buy it now. Buy it now.
Buy it now. Buy it now.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.